Vegetarianism has been catching on in the United States, in some cases for health reasons, in some cases for moral and ethical reasons, as you heard Jonathan Safran Foer talking about, in some cases for environmental reason because of the damage, the comparative damage that raising animals for meat does compared to other sources of protein. We want to hear from you about what you thought of that interview and what you think about vegetarianism. Maybe you think meat should be part of the human diet. Big quantities, small quantities, 866-893-5722 is we get into the red meat of the subject. We're also talking about a new study. The American Dietetic Association conducted an exhaustive review and concluded not only that a vegetarian diet can be just as nutritional as a meat diet, it may have some benefits to the health not only of adults, but to young people who decide to embrace that or whose parents choose it for them. Reed Mengels is the co-author of the American Dietetic Association's position paper. She's a registered dietitian, a nutritionist, the mother of two teenagers she has raised as vegans. Ms. Mengels, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So were you yourself, even though you are evidently vegan, were you surprised by the findings of this study?
Actually, no, I wasn't. This is one of a number of position papers on vegetarian diets that the American Dietetic Association has done, and the results were very similar to some of the other papers that have been published.
And this time, though, there was an emphasis on the fact that there may be a benefit. What kind of benefits might accrue to a vegetarian diet?
Well, there are a number of benefits. The one that stood out particularly was that there's really good evidence that vegetarians have a lower risk of dying from heart disease. In addition, it looks like vegetarians have lower risk of obesity or being overweight, of some cancers, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and a number of other conditions that seem to plague many people in our society.
There have been concerns by parents who think, well, every kid goes through a phase of wanting to be a vegetarian, but can my child get enough nutrients from a vegetarian diet as opposed to a varied omnivorous diet?
Yes, parents do contact us with those kinds of concerns. It's actually pretty easy to get the nutrients you need from a vegetarian diet, provided you eat a variety of foods, eat healthy foods, so not just junky food or anything like that. And if you have concerns about your child, certainly consulting a registered dietitian with expertise in vegetarian nutrition might help to plan meals that would be appropriate and allay any fears.
We often hear that because human beings have been omnivores since there were human beings, that it's natural to the human diet to eat meat.
Well, if you look, and I'm certainly not someone who's studied this at all, but from what I've read, we actually are designed physiologically to have a choice. In other words, we have canine teeth like animals that do eat meat. We also have molars like herbivores or animals that eat plants. So to my way of thinking, this means it's up to us to make that decision. And certainly studies of vegetarians show that there are health benefits. So maybe that's telling us something.
Let's hear from you as well about your questions for our guests, dietitians both, about being vegetarian, raising children as vegetarians too. Let's see. Laura is in Glendale with her point. Laura, thanks for your call.
Hi. I have two points to make. One, in regards to the author for eating animals, I don't think if his thing about his book is about the cruelty involved in factory farming, then it doesn't stop at being a vegetarian. You have to be a vegan if you want to stop that cruelty altogether. Because the same amount of suffering happens to the dairy cows and the chickens that are being bred for their eggs or whatnot. That's my first point, is it doesn't stop there. And secondly, I've been a vegan now for 2 years, and my initial reason for doing it was precisely that, the cruelty involved and how that food gets on my plate. And the suffering is so much that it changed me completely. And now the benefits have been that I'm healthier, I'm happier, I'm more aware of so many things that are a part of this world and a part of me and how I interact with all of that. It's been the best thing I've ever done for myself and for my lovely planet.
Laura, thank you so much for that. Reed Mengels, Laura's point is about being vegan. You raised your children as vegan. Is there a nutritional difference for parents who are thinking about, or for young people who are thinking about being vegetarian versus vegan?
Well, I think the difference would be that there are a few nutrients that vegans have to be aware of. The one that comes most immediately to mind is vitamin B12, which we only need in very minute amounts, but is only found naturally in any significant amount in animal products. These days, it's not an issue for vegans or parents of vegan children because a number of foods are fortified with vitamin B12, including soy milk, breakfast cereals, and some of the fake meat kinds of things, as well as, you know, you can get it in your vitamin pills. So that's just something that parents need to be aware of, that they need a reliable source.
On that point, let's hear from Katya in Lake Forest who has a question. Katya, go ahead. Let's see if we can get Katya on the line. Katya, are you there? I think let's give Katya one last chance here. Katya, are you there? Well, let's put Katya's question to Nancy Burkoff, who's a registered dietitian and specializes in vegetarian foods. She's the co-author with Reed Mangels of Vegan Seafood Beyond the Fish Stick for Vegetarians. And Katya's question, Ms. Burkoff, had to do with soy and children and concerns about estrogen in soy, natural estrogen.
Well, I would have to say that first, we would have to look at populations in countries where soy is the main protein, and we know that people in those countries are not suffering from an abundance of issues with the phytoestrogens. The other thing is that just as people who eat meat or dairy shouldn't be eating pounds and pounds of it a day, you shouldn't be eating a lot of soy every day either. If you're talking about a 2 or 3 year old, they might be eating maybe 2 or 3 ounces of soy, like in tofu or some of the fake meats, and they can always have soy milk, but the soy milk is mostly water, just like dairy milk is, so they're not getting a great deal of the soy estrogen, so that's not really a concern.
Let's hear from Ryan in Los Angeles about parity and comparisons in different kinds of diets. Ryan, thank you for your call.
Certainly, yeah. You know, I listened to the beginning of your show as well, where you were talking about the national health debate, and I wonder if these two issues shouldn't be hand in hand as we explore the national health debate. Is this really an opportunity for us to cut down on some of the larger diseases that are really clogging up our healthcare system at the same time that we make this ethical choice?
Reed Mangels, do you know whether diet is any part, especially a vegetarian diet, is any part of the healthcare reform discussions?
No, there's been no mention of a vegetarian diet. It's certainly something that I'd like to see. There have been some small studies suggesting that a vegetarian diet could cut health care costs.
Let's hear from Long Beach, where Deborah has a question for Nancy Burkoff. Deborah, thanks. Go ahead.
Yes. My name's Deborah from Long Beach, and my question was, along with a better diet choice as being a vegetarian, what do you see as the results of people changing their lifestyle and products that use animal byproducts to make those products?
I suppose you even think things like Jell-O gelatin.
Yeah, those things. And also, you know, I heard that they use beef tallow to use to cool down metals to, like, make our automobiles.
Okay, I think that we can only speak to food products right now. Nancy Burkoff, how aware can people be of animal byproducts? It isn't, you're not obviously buying a T-bone steak, but there may be collateral content that you'd just as soon avoid.
Right. Well, you have to become very, very aware. For example, some cheeses that are made with rice milk or soy milk are sometimes made with rennet, which obviously comes from the beef industry. And then you really do have to start becoming an active consumer. You can write to the company. Sometimes they'll tell you. Sometimes they won't. And you really have to start becoming aware of manufacturing processes, such as what is that candle made of, for example, and start asking questions.
Let's hear from Manny in Corona with a question about kosher food. Manny, go ahead.
Hi. You know, I think there was a study in the early 90s that had said that 90% of Americans had recognized that kosher food was healthier. So I'm just wondering if that really is true. And I mean a strict kosher diet, not one of the fake ones.
Reed Mangels, do you know about that?
No, I'm afraid I don't. I did want to piggyback a little bit on the last question, though, and just to give listeners the idea that it's okay to do this in baby steps. You don't have to be pure 100% from the beginning. It's great to write companies, but you also can, you know, just by eliminating meat, that's a huge step.
And Nancy Berkoff, about Manny's question, do you know whether kosher food is actually, including kosher meat, is actually healthier or safer?
Well, what I would say is this, is that vegetarian is a cuisine, kosher is a cuisine. In other words, kosher dietary laws really pivot on if you are following kosher Moroccan style, kosher Russian style. So you can't really talk to kosher as being healthier. Some people believed that kosher processed foods were healthier or safer, and that's not so because everyone has to follow the USDA standards. So it would be nice to say that kosher halal is much better or much healthier, but I don't think we can say that.
Francie's in Pasadena with a question. Francie, what's your question?
Hi, I am vegetarian and my children are vegetarian, but I am always concerned and I don't seem to get a lot of guidance from my pediatrician about what really are the protein needs of growing children. My kids happen to be 8 years old. And what are some alternatives? I've had a lot of people say, like, oh, don't do the fake meat. That's not really healthy. But I really rely on that for my children in addition to dairy products. So I would just love to have some suggestions about protein.
Reed Mangels, can you make some suggestions? Give Francie some ideas?
Sure. I don't know whether you want to do the math here necessarily. So I won't give you the number exactly for protein, but kids don't need huge amounts of protein. I think as long as your children are getting some good sources of protein for meals and snacks, they should be fine. Good sources of protein would include dried beans, and there I'm thinking things like kidney beans and chickpeas and hummus made out of chickpeas. Whole grains actually have some protein. Nuts, nut butters, seeds, seed butters even, like tahini, which is sesame seed butter. Vegetables have small amounts of protein, but they do have some. And then certainly if you are eating those foods, dairy products and eggs would provide some protein as well.
And Nancy Berkoff, this study that we were speaking of also dealt with pregnant and nursing mothers. Is there adequate protein and other vitamins and nutrients in a vegetarian, even a vegan diet for those women?
Well, what I would say, and I think Reed can speak to this a little bit better than I can, what I would say is that, once again, if you consider vegetarian or vegan a cuisine, something that you eat every day, every type of cuisine has its ups and downs. So if you are pregnant or nursing, you would want to see what your protein needs are and then select, or your vitamin needs are, and then select the foods within your cuisine that meet those. So, yes, if you plan it, it can definitely be safe.
On the upside, Mike has a question from Cerritos. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Well, basically, you know, I just met with my aunt over the weekend, and she's been a lifelong vegan. And it just comes to light that she now has some sort of artery disease that was developed because of all the wheat products that she was eating. So now she's allergic to wheat or some such because of the gluten that's from there. So, you know, I'm hearing a lot about the best aspects about being vegetarian, but I still find out now, especially over the weekend, that it still can have some problems to it. And so since I believe in strong balance of both, you know, meats and vegetables, I also think that I don't think there's enough concern out there about, you know, for vegetarians as well as pesticides being in the foods,
okay,
the process of the foods. But I was just wondering if somebody can address the type of diseases that can be associated.
Let's find out if Reed Mangels can do that. We heard about some arterial disease related to wheat and an allergy.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. I'm guessing that the caller's aunt has some sort of gluten sensitivity. Gluten is the protein that's found in wheat. It's not related to a vegetarian diet. It can be produced. It's actually an autoimmune disease where your immune system goes haywire. It can happen in vegetarians and non-vegetarians, and it is being more commonly diagnosed in the population as a whole. So it's not really an issue that's vegetarian per se. And you'll notice that I didn't specifically say whole wheat. Vegetarians can get eat grains, a variety of grains, brown rice, quinoa, millet, all sorts of grains are part of a vegetarian diet.
Let's hear from Pasadena where Lisa has a question. Lisa is a teacher and sees her students' eating habits. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A lot of my students are interested in being vegan. Some of them are really Natalie Portman fans and for trendy reasons, but I noticed that they really don't know how to do it properly. They're eating a lot of junk food. They tend to order just French fries or a side salad and kind of subsist on that. Some of them are low income. and they come from neighborhoods where they just don't have a lot of access to good fresh fruits and vegetables, and or their households are stocked with junk food. And I'm wondering how we can really make a transformation until we do things like make school lunches, campus foods, and low-income communities have more access to vegan products.
And Nancy Burkhoff, just because you're drinking Cokes and eating Twinkies and saying that I'm a vegan doesn't really cut it in terms of health.
Exactly. What I would suggest to the caller is the Los Angeles Food Bank does a lot of nutrition information and a lot of classes, especially with people who are lower income. So you might want to give them a call or go online and find their website, because they can suggest how to use commodities foods such as nut butters, as Reed suggested, and beans and that sort of thing to make some good vegetarian choices. And some of those might actually be what grandma made and the kids aren't listening to that. So we could do vegetarian and healthy all at the same time and connect the generations too.
Isabel in Los Alamitos would like to know, what is another good form of vegetable protein besides tofu? Reed Mangles, what kinds of options does Isabel have?
I think I mentioned earlier good sources of vegetable protein. Soy certainly is one source, but the other, it doesn't have to be soybeans. It can be kidney beans. It can be black beans. It can be pinto beans. Those are good sources of protein as well.
Eduardo is in Los Angeles. Let's try to squeeze him in. Eduardo, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Eduardo. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I have a comment. I think in any healthy diet, as long as balance is considered as a factor, no matter if you're a vegetarian or you eat meat, if you do it in excess, it's not going to be good to you.
All right. Eduardo, let's get Reed Mangles real quickly. Is there such thing as an excessive vegetarian diet?
I think any diet where someone eats only one or two foods obsessively could potentially be an unbalanced diet. That's rare. Hadn't seen that in a while, but you'll hear about it once in a while.
Thank you both. Reed Mangles, co-author of the American Dietetic Association's position paper about vegetarian diets that have not just as good as, but actual benefits over some carnivorous diets. Nancy Burkhoff is the co-author of Vegan Seafood Beyond the Fish Stick for Vegetarian. Keep us posted on your thoughts on the Pat Morrison page at kpcc.org. What do you